once a month, we have Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch, Hatch Realty, in studio, taking all your buying, selling, real estate questions, and he's in the studio right now. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Did you know that song that was just playing? Thank you, Eric, by the way.
Lifehouse.
Yes, thank you. It sure is Lifehouse. I used to give guitar lessons to kids, and that was a song that I frequented often.
Really?
Because it's like three or four chords, but I sounded super cool.
Did you have the distortion on that bass, too?
Oh, so much distortion. Yeah, hearts are being melted right now as you play this. This is what the kids refer to as a banger.
Yes, it is.
As we have Eric in studio more and more and get a better rapport with him, now I'm just throwing weird songs at him to see how he reacts. And sometimes you hit a home run, you throw Lifehouse out, and you get a life story.
You wanted me to bunt, but I only hit dingers.
Hit dingers. Now, here's the real story. He typed in the word house and Lifehouse. It's probably how he came to be.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But the thought was, what's the weirdest house one I can go for?
Hanging by a moment.
Okay, well, I'm excited to see what's coming next.
Oh, it's getting weird.
Okay.
It's going to get real weird with it today. We're hanging by a moment to see what, in fact, you want to know about buying and selling. I wanted to know, and I've been teasing this, Eric. It's been so mild. Everybody knows it. I get tired of saying the same thing. Been so mild. And it's not so bad without the wind. It's like 45 degrees right now. There's hardly any snow. I just saw me and JJ are out at, or at least JJ was out at the whole, where there used to be the Mount Fargo. There's no snow.
Yeah, it's mountainless.
Yes, it's just dirt is all it is right now. But this has changed people's attitudes as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're outdoors doing things, not necessarily the snow-related things. Has that changed at all? Because, I mean, I'm out cleaning up the yard now instead of like May.
I had a buddy that just posted that he saw somebody running shirtless today. It's 45. I may as well get this tank top out of here. Yeah. I got to breathe.
Yeah. let them breathe.
So to your question, has this changed? Has the mild winter changed the real estate market?
Yeah.
I can't compare it to last year because last year was a strange year. Yeah, folks, if you understand what happened in the real estate industry, we see traditionally 5-ish million homes sold across the United States, and that's homes sold. So when it counts actual transactions, there's a buy and a sell on each of those. So 10-ish million a year. Well, this last year has been a little bit wild. It was down to 4 million. In fact, it was the lowest year we had for real estate transactions since 2005. 2008, when the market crashed, there were still more home sales than what happened last year.
Really?
So we can't compare last year, but in 2021, which was the height of the market, over 6 million homes sold or 12 million transactions. So now, what is normal, right? There was a movie growing up, and it was actually made in Minnesota. It was a movie called Angus. I hope somebody texts in and says, I love the movie Angus, because I loved the movie Angus, but I was one of like six people that saw it.
35270.
Thank you. Yeah, please. Somebody.
I got your back, Eric, because I've seen it too. It's a great movie.
I'm falling even more in love with you because of that.
Hanging by a moment.
That's a callback.
I dig it. Thank you. Yeah, a little Lifehouse.
Well done.
Full circle.
Yeah.
So the movie Angus,
it's only been 3 minutes. We got to just wrap up Keeping It Real. It doesn't get better than that, man.
The protagonist character has a line at the end where he says, there is no normal. And so that's really what has happened in real estate the last couple of years, is that there hasn't been normal. COVID was so accelerated. So the last quote unquote normal year is 2019.
Okay.
And I don't remember the winter that was 2019, but I know that traditionally we see slow sales in the first quarter. And then it accelerates for quarter two. Quarter three is when the lion's share of sales happen. And then quarter four is like a balanced quarter. And that is still, I think, happening right now. So do we look similar to 2019 right now? I mean, maybe. There's nowhere near as much inventory as there was before. And the issue is not the weather. The issue is the interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love for people to say, hey, regardless of the interest rate, and I'll tell you, you're always paying for someone's mortgage. You're either paying for the person that you're renting from or you're paying your own. And historically, we can say, well, interest rates historically are 6%. So getting a house at 6 or 7% right now is fine. But if you're used to 3%, 7% feels like it's absolutely atrocious. And so regardless of the weather, people are slowed down right now because of interest rates. Their buying power, inflation plus interest rates, make people's buying power far less than what it once was.
And it's, you know, you couple that, you say people aren't necessarily buying all the time. I mean, rent is outrageous. There was a candidate in New York, the rent's too damn high.
Yeah.
It's too damn high here as well.
Did you know that if you're going to rent a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment in town, you're probably going to spend $1,600 to $1,800 a month. I mean, you can find something for like $12, but $1,600 to $1,800 a month. Let's do quick math. That's like $20,000 a year to rent a place. If you want to rent a nice place, you're $2,500 to $2,800. Nice is relative, right? But if you want to get a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house that you're going to rent, $2,500 to $3,000.
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
And then you think,
the rent is too damn high.
The rent
Tyler.
Is too damn high. But you talk about part of the problem is we don't have inventory, especially in that first time home buyer. At least that's the way it was. Now, granted, that was a couple years ago as well.
Well, a first time home buyer house is going to be probably $300,000 and less. Our median sales price in the market, it changes every month, but 320-ish. Okay. 320-ish.
My God, that seems so high compared to the first time when I got into my house.
When did you buy your first house?
That was 2011.
Okay. Back in the day, I remember this because 2011 was my first year in real estate full time. I got in 2006, but 2011, I went full time. And do you know what the average sales price was in 2011?
I will say 150.
It's 155. Look at you. Yeah, it was 155. And so prices have literally doubled in the last 13 years.
Wow.
Crazy. Now, home prices usually double every 17 to 20 years, but it's been accelerated because a lot of COVID reasons. It was also depressed because of the market crash of 2007-2008. So do I expect homes in the next 13 years to double in price? I mean, probably not. But I do think it's going to be a predictable 4-6% appreciation annually, and that compounds over time. So there's financial wins out there, but the average home buyer, if they're wanting a starter home or an entry-level home, a first-time home buyer's home, $300,000 or less, I mean, you're still going to have a couple thousand dollars a month in your mortgage payment. That's tough.
35270 is, in fact, how you can ask questions of Eric Katz, or you can call us. Lending Studio Line is at 237-5948. A lot of love for you bringing up Angus.
People love Angus. Well, thank you.
Angus,
oh, it's such
soundtrack,
a good movie.
Somebody says, Eric, I didn't realize Angus was shot in Minnesota. I loved that movie when I saw it in the 90s. Totally forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
Somebody goes, go for it, Angus.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I've made whole today.
You've been
this
seen.
This is really nice.
You have been heard for your movie knowledge.
It's so
of
good.
Angus.
I got to go find that movie.
We'll find out where you can stream Angus. I have no doubt. It's
somebody will Google it before I will.
No doubt. And then when you do 35270, let us know where, in fact, you can stream the movie Angus.
Real estate sales and movie recommendations.
Yep, why not?
I'm here for it all.
It's everything that you want to get off your chest with Eric Hatch. Here it is. Here's your opportunity. Welcome back with more Keeping It Real here on After News Live next. I'll let it get there if you want. You can even sing along, Eric.
This is actually my go-to karaoke song. So, I don't know what this has to do with homes. Man. Okay, then. I don't know what this has to do with
homes. It has absolutely nothing. I told you, we're getting weird.
Okay. Well, it's my go-to karaoke song.
Are you being real now?
I swear on my life. The
okay, we,
the
made
90s,
we made prolonged eye contact.
Yeah,
I believe
no,
you.
Longingly. Yeah. Longingly. Turn it up. Let's do this thing. Make too my bag of tricks.
You don't even need the scroll in front of him.
Lick 'em. Yeah, this is now inappropriate.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, there it is.
You don't need any of this.
Salt and pepper gets tricky at times.
He has I'm Tyler Axel, by the way. Eric Hatch is keeping your own. Eric Johnson, he has a habit of taking things I say and putting them out of context in ways. And if you're singing along with Shoot by Salt and Pepper, there's going to be a lot of out of context things that can be used.
There sure is.
We were talking, okay, we'll talk more housing, but I looked up Angus on IMDb. I did not know that James Vanderbeek was the dude that was the jerk in this movie.
JVB, yeah, that's what they call him on the streets.
Here's the summary. A miserable fat teenager secretly has a crush on the class beauty, ends up becoming the surprising participant to dance with her at a high school dance. I mean, he's got to get his act together with the help of his best friend.
Yeah. This is the story of my high school career. It was so good.
No wonder why you related to it so much.
It's so good. By the way, it's available on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
You can rent it for $3.99 or buy it for $10.49. And so I'd like to start a GoFundMe so I can raise $10.49 and watch this movie again. And I'll share it with everyone.
Does anybody buy streamed movies?
I do.
I've wondered that. You do,
yeah.
Huh?
I'll rent. We did Wonka. We did Wonka last weekend or so because it was like $8 to rent or like $20 to buy. And I'm like, whoa, my kids are going to watch this nine times.
Well,
And you go to a movie theater, listen to me complain like I'm an old curmudgeon, but you go to a movie theater for 4 tickets and popcorn, it's like $80 to $100. And so I'm fine spending $20 to buy a movie that we're going to watch again.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to be watching it over and over, for sure.
Side note, Wonka's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the new one that just came out, right, with that one?
Yeah, Timothy
Chameleon?
Chalamet.
Chalamet? Chameleon? I don't know.
Yeah. you're very trendy with the kids nowadays.
Very much, yeah. Chameleon,
that's right.
He's a hip-hop artist. 237-594, or a rapper, one of the two.
I think he opens up for Salt and Pepper, doesn't he?
I have no idea. Somebody knows. You can also text in at 35270. So you mentioned that interest rates still the biggest barrier.
It is the biggest crutch.
We've heard from the Fed, which I know some variables here, that they might look at lowering the base when it comes to interest rates. There's nothing set in stone here. How long does it take to trickle into the actual housing market about those interest rates?
We expected it was either late January or early February, the Fed came out and we expected there to be like a rate drop and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Rates have remained about the same, and that has to do a lot with inflation and other pieces. And so there's 5 more times throughout the course of the year where we'll maybe see that trickle down. When it hits and when it trickles down, usually it's within a couple of weeks. But uh-huh. Do I think that we will ever, at least in the next 10 or 20 years, do I think that we'll see rates back down in threes or fours? No, I don't. I think that we can maybe see high fives, but lower sixes is probably what's going to be expected. So for those people that are sitting on the sideline waiting to buy because you're waiting for a lower interest rate, I have to say I totally get it. But I want you to heed just a little bit of caution, because if an interest rate drops but 1%, it adds 5 million new buyers into the market.
Wow.
A 1% drop adds 5 million new buyers. And if you remember, how many transactions did I say happen on a normal year? It's about 5 million.
5 million, yeah.
And so literally, you will double the competition if that interest rate drops 1%. The prices of homes will skyrocket up. The competition that you'll have will be there fighting, clawing, and doing everything they can to try to get into that home. And so if you could buy the average price home today in Fargo for $320,000, if you wait and maybe by the end of the year interest rates drop 1%, that $320,000 house is probably going to cost you $350,000. Mm. And that's $30,000 in equity you'll never have back. But I get it, because the thing that matters, Tyler, is the monthly payment.
Yeah.
It's not the price of the house. That doesn't determine who's going to buy and who's not. It's the monthly payment.
Can I budget for this? Yeah.
So what a lot of people are doing is they're doing the house hack. And the house hack is this, is you buy now, even though you don't love the interest rate. And if the rate drops, you just refinance.
Yeah.
If the rate remains the same, well, you're locked into something that you can afford. If the rate goes up, you look like a hero. Right? You, with your 3% interest rate, mm-hmm. when you bought with us a couple of years ago,
yeah.
you're locked in and you look like a hero because rates are at 7
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it feels good. I strut because of it. Because of that interest rate, I strut around this office.
The cock of the walk. That's right.
Careful, 35270. We have those interest rates, because I think I locked in at 2.8.
Yeah.
And now when you look at it, it's like, it was all about timing. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were in that COVID era where those interest rates were great, and we had been in that first-time home, which I said, you know, 155, we were on the low end of that for our first time getting in.
What'd you pay for your first house?
130, that first house.
Yeah.
And it was a standalone. It was a bi-level standalone. I know that you could go and get something that was, you know, the duplex too, but we had the bi-level. It was 130. We made money by selling that when we did, and then we got that interest rate. So I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see that again, but I'm damn grateful that we took advantage when we did.
So not only did you make a bunch of money selling your house, but you got that sweet radio money coming in.
Looks like talk show host money.
Daddy Warbucks over here.
Yes, I mean, It's a very lucrative lucrative biz. I better be careful because I think the main bosses from corporate are here today. I saw them walking around, so don't you be getting me in trouble.
I'm sorry, you Mr. Rockefeller. That's right.
My strut with everything else with this big wad of cash that comes from being a talk show host.
But to your point, will we see that again? Will we see a massive amount of appreciation in homes? I've always said that our market here is like the boring train around the amusement park. If you go to Valley Fair, there's the Corkscrew and Wild Thing and these big roller coasters. And that's how real estate markets are in Scottsdale. And that's how real estate markets are in Vegas. Mm-hmm. We're a boring train around the amusement park. Predictable, no big ups, no big downs. You just did what is the most brilliant move in real estate. You bought and you held. Yeah. That's how people make money in real estate, is you buy and you hold. There's no other trick to it.
Timing, and quite frankly, being boring is okay when it comes to making sure that your stability financially is right there. Eric Hatch, another half hour, keeping it real. Text in to 35270. Welcome back to you next. Eric Hatch is here to take all your questions. In fact, I got some waiting for you at 35270.
Don't you start yet, because Eric is waiting to hear my comment on the most recent song. So that was Creed's Higher. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's Creed's Higher. Although I can't reference the song, the type of cologne I wear is Creed. So
okay. All right. We'll go 2 for 3 on this one.
Okay.
We'll go 2 for 3.
Oh, I smell like $1 million when I wear that. Oh, my gosh.
Creed clone. Are you in the gold bottle?
I'm in the Aventus. Metal? It's the black bottle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you are Googling a lot of things. You're Googling Angus and Creed. Although by the end of the day, it has worn off. But in the morning, it's...
intoxicating?
Yeah. 60% of the time it works every time.
Sex Panther. 35270. Real estate. This is keeping it real if you couldn't put it together. It's more about side. We're having fun.
But here's the thing is, if somebody doesn't know the movie reference that you just made.
You just said that completely out of nowhere.
If you're not an Anchorman fan, and then all of a sudden Tyler just goes, this was Sex Panther.
We like to keep them guessing out there, dude.
I'm laughing not because it was that funny of a line, but because I'm placing myself with a person who has no idea of the movie through. Anchorman, and they just hear you randomly say Sex Panther, and it's just...
Every now and then, I wonder about, you know, we have 2 interstates in this metro area, which people commute, and they're just passing through. They're not stopping in farther. They've never been through this area maybe before, but they're going through those dials.
Yep.
And every now and then, I will think about... If I'm just skipping through and I hear this random idiot say these things.
There's a trucker from Maryland who just heard you.
What is going on right now? Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Afternoons Live, but it's keeping it real. Eric Hatch is my guest. I'm Tyler Axton, is your host. Do you want to answer some real estate questions?
I would love to.
Okay, let's get to them. Tyler.
Sex Panther.
How does the commission on selling get split up? Who gets what?
So what a good question, because there's a whole lot of interesting things that are happening with lawsuits and litigation. And also I will explain what has happened traditionally. Traditionally, what has happened in real estate up until very recently is that your listing commission, I've seen commissions as 5, 6, 7%, depends on the value that the agents are bringing. What we see is that is divvied up. A percent is given to the agent that represents the buyer, and the other is given to the agent that represents the seller. So on a 7% commission, sometimes you'll see 3% go to the buy side and 4% stay on the sell side, or sometimes you see that split right down the middle. And so traditionally, the seller is paying for the commission of both the buyer's agent and the seller's agent. Now, that's built into the sales price, of course, and the lawsuits that have been happening as of recent. In fact, there was one in the state of Missouri that just came to a head a couple of months ago. A $1.7 billion lawsuit, which is the start of so many other lawsuits, are happening now because people are saying, well, a seller shouldn't have to pay for the commission of a buyer. Now, we at Hatch Realty, as an example, we've made sure that every buyer that we work with, we get our proper paperwork in order and we make sure that we disclose to them, listen, we usually get paid by the seller, but if we don't, this is what our relationship will look like. This is how we get compensated for our services, right? And so that can be added on in terms of fees. And everybody kind of operates with that unwritten rule, but we've just made sure to always have it written. And these lawsuits are attacking people that haven't done their proper disclosuring of all of the things that are happening. So what's going to happen in the future to our texter? I can't tell you with grand confidence what's going to happen in the future, but I will tell you that traditionally real estate commissions are built into the sales price, and there's a portion that's paid to the buy side and a portion that's paid to the sell side.
I mean, that portion, and you have some people like, well, I don't need an agent. I'll just do it for sale,
sure,
by owner.
Sure.
Worth the hassle? I mean, know what your answer is going to be, clearly, but I mean, there are some people that think, oh, I can do this. Yeah. I don't need the database. I don't need to have this marketing behind it.
Yeah. I'll say, I don't blame you for wanting to, first of all, because you look and you say, well, I want to save some cash. And if I want to save some cash, why would I pay real estate commissions? Well, we have to look at it on a couple of sides. Number one is there's a difference between selling your house and maximizing the value and minimizing the pain. Okay. I think that especially through COVID, you could put a sign in the yard, even if you were for sale by owner, and you would get some buyers to show up. But are you actually getting all that cash out of it? In fact, the owner of forsalebyowner.com, the person who owns the forsalebyowner.com, has sold his house through a realtor. He couldn't do it on his own. So it's a fascinating thing. So, of course, you want to make sure that you are maximizing the value and minimizing the headaches, which is what a realtor should be there in order for you to do. But the other piece of this here, Tyler, is we have to make sure that when you're selling your house, you have to understand who's on the other side. Because if you've never sold a house before, even if you've sold a few houses, you're getting into a battle with someone who's probably pretty seasoned. And I'm not talking about the buyer. I'm talking about the agent that represents the buyer. More times than not, and in fact, it's over 85% of the time, a buyer has a realtor representing them. So that means if you're going to sell on your own, more times than not, you're agreeing to get into a battle and pay the commission of that agent that represents that buyer. And so you, as someone who is maybe inexperienced or hasn't gone to battle before, is now up against someone whose entire profession is to navigate through and protect the best interest of their client. That feels like an unfair fight to try to save 2%, 3%, or 4%. And so I will show you case after case after case of how the investment in a realtor will minimize your headache and maximize your dollars.
I know that when it came to that closing date approaching, because of circumstances that were certainly outside of the seller of the home that we're in now, they wanted to push back on some of those dates. While we also sold ours and we had an agreed upon date that we're moving out, somebody bought, they're moving in, we're moving in there. The headache and the stress of those final weeks, I wouldn't have wanted to do that on my own.
Yeah,
to have, you know, Hatch Realty and Josh Boucher, you know, be able to do that and handle those headaches so we could just stay focused on, okay, we got to be boxing up things here, was worth every penny.
Yeah, it's important to note that a realtor doesn't mean that you are going to have a smooth transaction every time. It's not a guarantee by any means, but our job is to mitigate the pain. Our job is to lessen the confusion and the chaos. And real estate is not a massively complicated game. People are massively complicated. And so when you put people and emotions, this is your house. It is tied to so many personal memories. It's where your kids are going to sleep tomorrow. And so people are massively protective over this. So the real estate piece is not complicated. The people piece is complicated. Yeah. And so think about if you're going to sell your house on your own. I want to go back to your question, Tyler, is if somebody chooses to sell their house on their own, well, you have to make one of two choices. One is you allow access to your property by unkept ruffians and strangers that get to have a full run of your property because you simply just leave a key in a lockbox that they can go and access. Or you have to be present for every single showing, which is, and most choose the latter, that they're going to be present for every single showing. The likelihood of your house selling when the seller is lurking in the shadows behind the curtains.
I hate that idea already.
You've now made it super awkward. That's like having a first date with somebody's mom along. Like, they're just watching and protecting, and like, it can't be good. And so the sellers get in the way. When you have a realtor, you have somebody who is licensed and insured and protected, and you have all of these checks and balances so that when somebody does go through your house, they're doing so with another professional, and you're making sure that if anything does go awry, it's not just that buyer whose butt is on the line, it's that entire realtor and their company and their insurance and everything else. So that is about as good of a safety net and cushion as you can get. And then you're not poo-pooing on the deal because you're the creepy mom or dad behind the curtain watching everything that's happening.
Well, and I could about imagine, because I know I've had these comments, man, what the hell am I doing here? And you can say that along with your agent, because look, they're just trying to find something that works for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be saying that if it's the owner of that property who probably did that handyman work himself along the way.
So, you know, one of the lessons too that we're learning, especially in the age of technology that we're in, is you better, when you're with your realtor, keep your P's and Q's and your criticisms until you are off the property. Oh. Ring doorbells and cameras in the house and microphones and other things. They are everywhere.
Ooh, that's a good reminder.
So if you are out there buying a house, if you are out there perusing, I would keep your opinion to yourself, not to show your cards and not to criticize. If you love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. Wait until you're off property, until you have that honest conversation with your representative.
I hope you're writing that down. That's some great advice. I got more questions for you, but I got to get a final weather update. Eric Johnson will take care of that. It's Too Tall Tom is away. Somebody's wondering about disclosure from the seller. So we'll answer that when we come back. Eric Hatch, we got another 12 minutes together here. I'm Tyler Axinus. After He's Live and Keeping It Real rolls on right here on KFGO. Very interesting direct question comes in for Eric Hatch, Keeping It Real. Just a couple more minutes. Got time for at least one more question. We were looking at buying a house, and the seller disclosure stated that there's a new chimney from the roof up. It was new, but in the attic, the concrete blocks were crumbling and not new. Can the seller get in trouble for that?
If I understand the plight of what they're getting at here, it sounds like the seller disclosed the change that happened. And that's what I mean. A seller's disclosure statement, they have to disclose everything that they know about the property. Now, what's maybe missed here, and if I understand the texter's question, is did they disclose the dilapidated chimney that's in the attic space? If it's problematic, if it is showing signs of leaking, for sure they could have, and the seller is aware of that and they don't disclose it, they could be in Barney Rubble trouble. But if it's just old, that's visible by the naked eye. If it's failing and the seller's aware of it and they haven't disclosed it, then they're in trouble. But otherwise, a seller's job on this property disclosure statement, which is like a 6 or 7 page document, the seller's to say, here's everything I know about the property, the good, the bad, here's what works, here's what doesn't work, here's what's included. If they intentionally mislead you, there's cause for litigation. Now, if they're simply naive, you're just stuck with somebody who doesn't know that much about their property, and that's pretty commonplace too.
Okay, let's take this a step further while we have this before. So this individual, they're looking at potentially buying. Now they saw this. Maybe they had an inspection done. Can they come back and have this as part of the ongoing negotiation?
Yeah, so in real estate, everything's negotiable. At least what's commonplace is if you're going to make a purchase or make an offer on this, you're going to have it contingent upon inspection. So this is called an inspection contingency. You usually have about 14 days to get your inspection done. I would make sure that your inspector, as well as if you have fear of this, I would get a chimney expert, a fireplace expert. I would get them over to the property as well. You're going to have to pay an extra couple hundred dollars for that, but you're going to get full disclosure and understanding of the functionality of that. At that point, it's your choice to either take it as it is, walk away altogether, or try to negotiate to find agreeable terms. In most situations, if you are purchasing the property, having known, like let's say you knew that the chimney didn't work. Let's say you knew that this was completely broken and you still accepted the offer and the terms that were there. Well, I think you've lost your leverage because you're now saying I'm buying the house in the current condition that it's in based on this price. And the inspection should not be a place for you to now navigate and negotiate something that should have happened the first time. If it's new information, Tyler, now you find out that the chimney is broken, that it's not functioning the way in which it is. That is 100% grounds for either accepting it as it is, walking away, or negotiating back and forth until you find what's agreeable terms.
Great questions coming in throughout this day. If you didn't get them answered this time, don't worry. We do this all over again, usually on the second Wednesday of the month. We're going to let you know
when. I think we're the third Wednesday next month.
I think we're the third Wednesday next month, so we'll let you know about that. And, of course, you have your show on Sundays as well.
I do. 8 a.m. Sunday mornings right here on KFGO. Tune in. It's lovely.
Final word goes to you with the minute that we've got left, Eric.
All right. I want to say this is spring is, I mean, it's about here.
Feels like it.
So I think there's three things you need to do. Number one, open your windows. Even on these 40 and 50 degree days, your house is, especially if it's a newer house, it is so plasticked and insulated. And so it needs to breathe. You need to get fresh air in to break up the humidity and the dryness. And so open up your windows, even if for a little bit. It'll smell better. It'll feel better. And your house needs to breathe. Number two is I would pay very close attention to your gutters, because you may have a bunch of old leaves from the fall. And we should have, what do they say, April showers bring May flowers. I think it's going to be March showers bring May snow. I don't know what's going to happen. But you should keep those gutters clean and make sure that that water can move away. And finally, add some color outside, because it feels pretty drab right now.
Eric Hatch, my friend. It's always fun. We'll do this again next month, all right?
You got it. Thanks, man.
Folks, this is it for me today. I'm Tyler Axis, your host here on After News Live. Till tomorrow, you take care of yourself. I'll check in right here on KFGO.